You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. We hope that you are making plans to make worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords a priority this coming Sunday. It's Easter Sunday. I prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday. And the reality is, for believers, we get to enjoy the benefits of Christmas. We get to enjoy the benefits of the resurrection each and every single day. It's not just an event on the calendar. It is actually a celebration that we get to partake of. So if you do not have a church home, we'd like to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God. We're 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. We're two blocks north of 520. We're two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, two blocks east of Tropical Trail, and two blocks south of Merritt Avenue. So that's where we are. We're right in the area that's known as the Merritt Park Place subdivision from back in the days. If you know where Ola's Cuban Kitchen is, we're right across the street from them. Some of the others, there's an orthodontist right down the street from us. We're two blocks south of Mila Elementary. That's where you can find us. We would like to invite you out to our services Sunday. This Sunday, we have a different schedule than we normally do. We're not having Sunday school. We're going to have a little bit of a Easter breakfast, if you will. We're going to have pancakes and coffee and juice and milk and all of those things available. That'll be starting at 9:45. We will start our worship service at 10:30. We would love for you to come and join us as we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just a little bit of housekeeping here, and that is to let you know tomorrow will be a broadcast that I do every year. It's the Good Friday broadcast, where I read the passages from the Bible concerning the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all the price that he paid on the way to that resurrection. So we'll be reading about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. So that will be happening tomorrow. Today, we'd like to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air. They are based in Rockledge, Florida. They are licensed and insured. Their license number is CAC 182-1309. They have been in business for many, many decades. They provide great service to their customers. They're very professional. They handle air conditioning and heating issues as well as electrical matters. And they travel all throughout Brevard County. Dennis pastors a church here in Central Florida. Just an all-around great guy. And their team has been really good at handling issues for me personally, as well as around our church. I can testify that they do great, great work, and they handle things as expeditiously as they can. And they do so at a fair value as well. They don't have the huge overhead that other companies do that have massive fleets of vehicles and things of that nature. They bring the Bible to the pulpit, but they also bring big biblical values to their customers. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. They may be a great resource for you with any problems that you might be having. And again, their license number is CAC1821309. So we thank them for being friends of the Refresh radio program. So today we are going to return to Luke chapter 10. And we didn't get very far yesterday. We got through verse number 25. So I'll read down to verse number 29. And that will set us up. We're studying about the fact that not only is God minister because he's moved with compassion for people, but that we, his children, are also supposed to be moved with compassion. Verse number 25 says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You've answered rightly. Do this and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" So the question that was asked by the lawyer who was wanting to test Jesus, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So I want to talk about two faulty views of point of views when it comes to eternal life. The first one is this, that it is because of our actions, because of some human accomplishment, if you will, that we inherit eternal life. Let me just tell you this. You cannot earn God's free, unmerited gift. Okay? If someone gives you a gift, be very thankful for it. I also want gifts that are going to have some functionality. And so the life that God gives to us is meant to be lived for the glory of God. And there's nothing that we can do. There's no amount of money that could be given that can earn eternal life. It is the free gift from God. So the question, what can I do to inherit eternal life, is, you know, you've got to receive the gift. The second faulty point of view is this: because it is God's gift and he wants all to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, he doesn't want any to perish, is that we have no responsibility to do anything at all. And so for many people, their entire spiritual existence was an event. It was a moment in time. It was a blip on the radar screen. And they said some words. They prayed a prayer. They asked to be forgiven, but that was it. There was no transformation, and they went on after that living the same way that they had always lived. I can tell you this: living people act entirely different than those who are not living. They're much more dynamic. It is evident that they are alive. They can do things that people who aren't alive can't do. So this mindset that just because you prayed a prayer, you don't have to do anything else, you can go ahead and live the way that you want to, and that you do so without consequence, is missing the mark, because the Bible says that God prepared good works for us to do before the foundation of the world. So there's not just a job that we go to where we earn a paycheck, but there is kingdom activity that God redeemed us and every person that you will ever meet has kingdom purpose. And we need to recognize the calling that God has on other people's lives, even those who have not yet come to faith in Jesus Christ. They have a kingdom purpose. They may not even have experienced spiritual life yet. They still may be dead in their trespasses and sins, but God is actively pursuing them for the purpose that He created them for. So the way that I like to summarize these two incorrect positions in a manner that does reflect a biblical instruction on eternal life or on spiritual life is this. We are not saved because of what we do. It's because we are saved that we do what God wants us to do. So to try and work to earn is not the path, but because God has given us the gift of eternal abundant life, that we do live the way that He wants us to live. That's the best way that I can put that. So Jesus' response to his question in verse number 26 is, what is written? What is your reading of it? What is written in the law? And so he shifts the focus from the man's test, putting the responsibility on Jesus to give him the insight. And remember, it was a test where he was setting Jesus up to fail. He thought that he was going to be able to outwit God. And there are a lot of people who live as if they're smarter than God. I will tell you, no matter how many people you are smarter than, you will never be smarter than God. Hate to break it to you, but one of the things I tell my congregation is I wake up and I thank God that I'm not God. And I wake up and I thank God that no human being is God, because God alone has the qualifications to sit upon the throne and be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the only perfect one, the only holy one. He deserves to sit on that throne. And I'm not going to set God up to fail. He sets us up to succeed. One of the great marks of distinction between God and the devil is that God sets people up to succeed spiritually, and the devil sets people up to fail. And God sent his son to not only lift a finger to transform us, he lifted up his whole life and said, I'm willing to die for you. I'm willing to rise from the dead for you. And the devil will not lift a finger to make your life one minute better. Anything he does is designed to steal your eternal life that God wants for you. And if it's valuable enough that the devil wants to steal it, it should be valuable enough that you and I will say yes to Jesus to retain that life, attain that life, and to utilize that life so that others can know him who is the way, the truth, and the life. So what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? Thank God that we have the spiritual resources that we do. There are umpteen different versions of the Word of God, the way that it's translated. I use the New King James Version. When I was growing up, I read the King James Version. When I got to be a teenager, I used the NIV. And then the reason that I used that when I first started preaching was because it was easier to understand for the young people I was ministering to. And then the New International Version changed, and I said, I don't like the changes. And so the New King James was a relatable version. There's been a number of other versions come out since then. You know, the New American Standard has one of the greatest percentages of accuracy from what I've studied. As far as word for word translation, there are others that are more relatable, more easily understood by people who may not be familiar with the terminology that we Christians tend to forget, that not everybody knows what those words mean. So there are some versions that are not fan favorites of mine, but I have people that I know that read them and thrive in their spiritual walk. And so I'm not going to be criticizing too many translations, because you know what I want people to read the Word of God so that they know what God has to say. I was talking with Pastor Harley, and he's a first generation believer. And I said, you know, back when I was in college, I learned that the number one target for cults was young people who went off to college, but they didn't have a grasp on the Word of God. They were biblically illiterate. If you were to ask people for scriptural proof of what they believe, most people would not be able to give that to you. There's some politicians out there that they twist and distort and contort, and man, they go through all sorts of linguistic gymnastics to try and make the Word of God fit their worldview, which is basically an unbiblical worldview, but they want to give it a veil of some sort of biblical legitimacy. And it's not a right handling of the Word of truth, which we're instructed to do in the New Testament. We need to handle the Word of God with great care. So I'm telling you, every time God gives me a deposit into my spirit of a word, and he says, I want you to study this, I come away like this study on compassion, and I come away with greater understanding than I had when I went in. And it's not like I'm lazy in my study habits. It's just that the riches of God's word are so intense. But if we have a Bible, don't read the Bible, we're going to be at the mercy of whoever we're listening to about what they say that it means. And so there are people who will take a verse out of context, and context is not just the verses before and the verses after. Beyond that context, we have to look at the Word of God in the context of the Scriptures as a whole. And so we live in a day and time where many people feel justified in not honoring father and mother, and they hang their hat on the verse that says, hey, if you don't hate your father and mother, you cannot be my disciple. Jesus wasn't telling people to hate their father and mother. He was telling them there's nothing in this world that you should love more than God. God is supposed to be the ultimate love in our life. And if we get that right, because we get our love for God right, we're going to love those in authority over us that he's positioned, whether it's father or mother, or whether it's the authorities that are in line with God's word, we're going to have the proper relation. So there may be people who do things that I don't particularly care for. But if they're an authority in my life, what I do is I pray for them, I bless them, and, you know, most of those times it's not whether something is unbiblical or not, but it has to do, you know, a lot of times people think their personal preferences are absolutes. And I will tell you that my personal preference is not an absolute in the Word of God. Now, if there's an absolute, like Jesus is the only way, that's an absolute for me. I can be civil with another person, but I'm not moving off of the fact that there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved but by the name of Jesus. I'm not moving away from the fact that if we will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, not just with our lips, but with our life out of a heart that's overflowing, that there's going to be a salvation and a transformation in people's lives. Those are absolutes for me. So let me just tell you that my wife and I have some differing preferences in when it comes to the food that we eat. So I tell people, if you do an actual DNA profile on me, you're going to probably find that I'm a mutt, or I look like the United Nations. I'm a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this other thing over there. I haven't done any of that. Not interested in it. But that's what my DNA profile. If you did a DNA profile on me because of the type of food that I like to eat, I'm going to come back Mexican. I don't know that I've got any Hispanic bloodline contributors to my ancestry, but man, have they really influenced my food choices. My wife, on the other hand, she likes Chinese food. She likes Italian food. She likes, she even likes, this one here is a bit of a struggle for us, not too bad, but she likes chicken curry, and I don't. I don't like the taste of it. I don't like the smell of it. I certainly don't like the smell of it, and that's a personal preference. I don't make her not eat chicken curry because I don't like it. I do prefer if it's cooked when I'm not going to be around, and I do prefer that she eat it when I'm not going to be there. But those are preferences. Those are preferences. People tend to look at the Word of God through the culture in which they were raised, rather than looking at the Word of God and saying, is there anything in my culture, while it fits in with my preference, that I need to change because the Word of God says that I should? There are some people that eat some things that I can't eat. I won't eat because of some things that the Word of God has to say about that. There are other people just absolutely love that. I'm not going to condemn them or beat them up or any of that sort of stuff intellectually, because I can't do that physically. I'm just going to say, you know what? Bless you. And so I've told some family members, hey, you like that? I want to bless you. I want you to have the ability to eat my portion of that as well as your portion. And but all of that was to say this: if we don't avail ourselves of the Word of God, then we're going to be ignorant of the Word of God. We're not going to know what it says, and we're not going to build our value system the way that God wants us to. So I've got some missionary friends that their focus is on getting the written Word of God into the language groups around the world that do not have the Word of God. And with technology that has become available, they are working very, very hard to get the Word of God into all of the languages around the earth. There are other missionary friends who recognize that there are people around this globe who do not have the ability to read. They are illiterate. Even if you gave them a Bible in their own language, they don't know how to read. And so it would be a tool that they would not know how to use. So my missionary friends have come up with an audio version. And so they're looking to get the Word of God, not just to the people of different language groups, but in audible versions so that they can hear the Word of God. I as far as audiobooks go, it's a huge explosion. People are availing themselves of these tremendous resources. Right now, we've got so many biblical resources. You've got the written Word of God. You've got the audio Word of God. You've got sermons and teaching series that are available without number. You've got the gospel that is being proclaimed in songs. You've got radio ministries and online resources. But you know what none of that will do for you? It will not allow you any benefit by osmosis. You've got to make yourself available to the Word of God so that you can receive it. So, you know, how do you read it? What is your reading of it? What is it? What is written in the Word of God? And so I will tell you, if you can't read that, or if you can read but you don't read, you're depriving yourself of one of the greatest blessings that you could ever bless yourself and your family and your friends with, and that is knowing the Word of God. What could you do this resurrection season? If you haven't read the Word of God, I encourage you, dive in. I recommend starting in the Gospel of John and then moving from the Gospel of John through the rest of the New Testament and then going back and reading the New Testament again from the book of Matthew on, and get yourself into that habit of reading the Word of God to find out what God has to say. A person that said, I read the Bible once, I didn't understand it. They would, if you gave them an instruction manual on how to assemble a product and they did that, you would consider them unwise. I will tell you this. I've read the Word of God hundreds of times. Just about every time I read it, I'm discovering something that I hadn't seen before. I will tell you, you will find the Word of God is a mine that is super rich in wisdom and spiritual blessing that we can't afford to live without. If anybody asks you, how do you get to become a Christian? You say, Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead and he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And he gave life to all of us who would ask to have our sins forgiven and him be Lord. Happy resurrection season. See you next week.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.